Hey guys, welcome back to chat number three from module three, how to develop habits that will prime you for success. Now, hopefully before this, you've already downloaded the notes and listened to the workshop and sort of maybe take some of the bits of homework and put them on into your own life. What this whole part is about is to try and make it a little bit more relatable for you guys in terms of like what myself and Chris would do. Just two normal average lads, you know? How do we apply this stuff to our life? So that's this whole section with this fireside chat. And as usual, we're going to, off the cuff, give each other questions based on this and figure out, in this case, each other's habits. And hopefully, I've already learned a lot from you from the workshop and preparing this sort of stuff. And I've already, I've already taken some of those nuggets of information and actually put them in for myself. But yeah, Chris, do you mind if I go first? Ask you a question first. So habits, we spoke about in the workshop, everyone has habits, whether they know or whether they don't know. When did you start realizing that, wait a sec, you have habits that contribute to these results, and then part two, start trying to slowly or maybe really, really quickly in different areas, change them to affect your outcomes, your results that you were experiencing?
Okay, so when did I realize the value of habits?
Yeah. When did you realize that like everybody has habits and that's actually what contributes to like a result or an outcome that you're getting?
Yeah, okay. It was probably like when I came out of college, I'd say all the way to school and college, I probably had a load of bad habits and not enough good ones. But once I came out of college and I started working here and we were starting to put this together, it's when I realized that, geez, you know, if you want to have a good day, like just like we talked in the morning routines, like if you want to have a good day, you have to have a system that produces good days. And what I mean by system, as in like it's kind of like your machine. Like if in order to produce something like a good day, you've got to be able to have a whole lot of habits, which are basically your systems in order to do that. If that makes sense. For example, you know, having a goal to do something isn't enough. You can't just have a goal to, you know, win the Olympics, you know, whatever. You need to have a goal that's backed up by a system of really good habits in order to put you, you know, in a position to do that. If you look at, like, how many people who went to go to the Olympics want to win the gold? All of them. How many people win the gold?
One.
Why?
Because they have different training or different habits.
It's because they've got different systems and systems are habits. So if you want to produce good days, you've got to produce great systems. So I realized that, you know, okay, what we were trying to do was extremely difficult and demanding and unlikely to succeed. So in order to put ourselves in the best possible position, I had to work on me and work on my habits. And you know the old adage, you know, the investment in yourself pays the biggest dividend. Well, an investment in building good systems for yourself will pay the biggest dividend of them all. When I say good systems, I mean great habits. And over the years, I've really, really realized the benefits of good habits. For example, like one thing that I was always fecking around with was exercise and the gym. And I, you know, used to go to the gym a little bit here and there, and I go two or three times a week, and I kind of go at different times. And then, you know, I'd have a big blowout, a big party or something, and I'd be wrecked then on a Monday morning, and I wouldn't bother going for a week or 2 weeks, and I'd derail myself from that habit. But it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago that I built the habit of going to the gym in the morning. And that was, without a doubt, the most powerful habit that I built. It's what we call in the module a keystone habit, a habit that you develop that, because of that habit, you actually, you know, have 3 or 4 or 5 other positive habits that almost grow off the back of that. So going to the gym means that, you know, if you go to the gym consistently, you'll actually, you see your eating habits improve, because you're like, well, if I'm going to the gym, like I probably should look after what I'm, you know, putting in my mouth. You know, like I should be eating more fruit and veg and eating less Domino's pizza. And if you go to the gym a lot, you'll probably have better work habits because you've got more energy. You probably have more discipline when it comes to things like that. So for me, it was when I came out of college, to answer your question of when. In terms of what, the big one for me was exercise and going to the gym, which again is something that I took from you, as I said in our last kind of fireside chat, which is that like I took a lot of inspiration from your own kind of disciplined regime of exercise. And for anybody, for any student, for any human being, I would say that the most one of the most important habits is exercise, and that comes in millions of different forms. It can be walking, running, tiddlywinks, if it's competitive, or the gym, just movement. It was one of the powerful habits that certainly changed my life. That was one of the biggies, one of the big ones for me.
And then would you say that once you changed that habit, once you realised, okay, that keystone habit, that was there. So how does the keystone habit start saying, maybe I should eat a little bit better, maybe I should actually, and do loads of the stuff. Once you realise the benefits from doing that one thing, you start going, well, what if I actually change this? Would that be fair to say?
No, absolutely. Big time. So one thing I probably should have said was, how did I develop the habit of exercising each day? And one of the most powerful things for me was, it was actually accountability. I think a lot of the time people, they say they're going to go to the gym, but like they know that like if they don't, like, sure, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if I don't go on Monday. So like, who's going to give out to me? Well, like what I did was I got a gym partner, someone who was a lot more into the gym than I was. And I was like, can I exercise with you? And they're like, yeah, okay. But like, you ought to be there at 7 every day. And that alone, for me, that was enough. That anchored me to that routine, because I know if I didn't go at 7, I'd get a text at 7:05 going, mate, where are you? And then if I saw them later that day and I hadn't gone, the guilt I would feel was absolutely enormous. So like that one kind of accountability thing was enough for me to stick to it. And then because I stuck to it, I actually, after about a month or two, I realized, geez, this is amazing. I started to feel the benefits of it, of going to the gym daily. I felt much better. I had way more energy, I built it, it was almost like my mind felt clearer, and all of those kind of attributes made it that I almost didn't even need the accountability piece anymore. Like I'd taken the stabilizers off the bike and I was cycling, and I was, I saw the light that, this was a habit that was going to be really, really good. Then from that, then the question, which I can't actually remember because I was off on such a tangent there, but what was the question again? Remind me, and I will finish off the answer.
the question was, when did you start to realize that habits were important? That you could, like, that everyone had habits and they became an outcome. And you were saying that at the start of setting up the academy.
Yeah.
And then when did you start actually to change?
Yeah.
Habits like start to slowly or dramatically impact that. I think you did answer it, because you did say, well, I started going to the gym was the first thing, and you told us how you did it, but then you said it was a keystone habit which actually started to affect other things.
Yeah.
And then from seeing that, you started to pick apart, well, what other key ideas do people have that
absolutely do? And as I said, the keystone thing branched off into other things. One thing I noticed in my diet was I wasn't getting enough fruit and veg in. So I went out and I bought like a really fancy juicer, and like now every single day I've got this green juice, looks like weeds that have been ground down into liquid form. Mm-hmm. But like I do that every single day, and like I literally, there's not a day of work goes by I don't have one of those. Mm-hmm. And that's off the back of the gym part. Another huge development was my sleeping habits, and I think this, and you'll always hear me harping on about sleep, but my sleep habits have improved like tenfold in the last 5 years because of things like the gym. And I get into a disciplined regime of going to bed at a reasonable time, getting enough sleep. And one thing I was a really bad habit I had was I was having like 4, 5, 6 coffees some days, like, and even late in the evening. Mm-hmm. And like the effect that has on your sleep is catastrophic, drinking caffeine before going to bed. People think, oh no, I'm grand, I sleep it off, it doesn't affect me at all. Where you might be asleep, but the quality of your sleep is definitely affected. Mm-hmm. And like one of the new habits I kind of brought in recently is that I don't drink caffeine kind of after lunch. I'm allowed to have one or two in the morning, mid-morning, but nothing after lunch, because caffeine's going to stay in your body for 6 to 10 hours after you drink it. So, again, keystone being the exercise, went into diet, then from there, then to sleep, and then into, God knows where else that's going to take me. Somewhere great, I hope.
Yeah. So interesting you say about the sleep. So obviously I think we've discussed on this that we use Sleep Cycle, that app, and it detects what range of sleep you're in. I still can't get over, some days you wake up and say the quality percentage is different, I had this day, I think it was on last Wednesday or Thursday, where it basically, just for anybody who doesn't know, it gives you a graph of how deep you are in your sleep, and the deepest sleep, obviously the graph is at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I had about, I'm not sure the exact time, but 2 hours when I was really, really down at the bottom. Obviously, yeah. The rest of it, you're asleep as well. But so, and then the next day, it was as if someone had just plugged me into a supercharger. It was incredible. And I do loads of stuff about it, and I analyze, well, why was my quality better than other days? Like, I have stopped having sugar before bed. Yeah. So I used to have a couple of squares of dark chocolate before bed, and I got accountability with that. I told my girlfriend, I'm not allowed to have that before bed.
Yeah.
So I used to just say stuff randomly. I'd be saying, could you just pass the chocolate there and just see what she said? It'd be turned into a joke. So now I can't have it anymore.
Yeah.
And then I was saying before that I took those ZMAs, the zinc, magnesium, yeah. and whatever A stands
a.
for. An A.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I think that I forgot to take them for a day. I think I left them in my kit bag or something. And maybe it was because I stopped taking them, then I took them the next day. But whatever the crack was with that deep sleep, I was just fascinated that I woke up the next day.
Yeah.
Just, I couldn't believe it. It was crazy.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Yeah. Nothing better than deep sleep. It's better than any coffee or monster you're ever going to have for energy.
Mm.
It's feeling well rested and recharged.
Yeah. I did get this. So on the thing, it had a sleep mask.
Yeah.
And I just kept waking up and it wasn't on me anymore, obviously, in the middle, and I just threw it away. So,
I've had enough of this.
Yeah, so I stopped that, and I don't actually, some people say the earplugs. Yeah. I don't actually have a problem with noise in my house whatsoever, so
okay.
I don't do that, but no, the sleep thing is...
It's huge,
yeah.
It's huge. Now, I've talked to you about my habit of the gym and exercise, and I want to ask you about one habit you couldn't live without. Now, obviously, to avoid overlap, the gym is an answer you can't give. What is one habit apart from the gym that like Dave Lewis cannot live without? If he doesn't do this, he is not going to have a good day. You know, this is the primary, apart from the gym, way that he gets shit done.
Okay, so... Well, so it's probably related to two things that we've actually spoken about before. And it's again just to show up mentally. So it was literally nearly the exact same question we had in the last podcast. However, I'll answer it slightly differently. Everyone has so many things going on in their life. My concentration isn't I get addicted to things very, very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And like notoriously, my concentration is very poor because of time spent on my phone. And like I could be. In the past, I would have potentially been chatting to you, but thinking about a maths class, all this sort of stuff. So when I actually start to plan out my day and plan out my week and actually plan out my term and plan out my year to the best of my ability for all that sort of stuff, if I don't plan my day does not go well.
Yeah.
And that's an absolute fact. If I don't know that while we are here right now, that I've nothing else that I have to worry about, I'm worrying about it and I could be here, but I'm not here. I'm just not. And like there'd be times when, like a number of years ago when I first started teaching, I'd be really worried, say, about the next class and just make sure I had enough stuff. And I'd be trying to teach this class, but I'd be thinking about a completely different subject.
Yeah.
And like you're just kind of in the middle of everything. So that helps me show up mentally. The other thing that helps me show up mentally is my diet, I suppose, as well. Like my diet is quite strict, and it's not quite strict to become. Like 4% body fat, my diet is quite strict to make sure that I have energy and concentration as much as possible. I notice if I have, say, a lot of sugar or a lot of caffeine, to an extent, caffeine can help me focus. Too much, I'll just be going rambling. Yeah. I'll just be all over the place.
Scatters,
And sugar, when I used to have sugar, then like afterwards, I would actually just be so tired.
Yeah.
I'd be okay for a few minutes and then, just like you just feel gone. So my habit, to put them together, my habit is to make the most of this that I can, and every single day there's loads of things to make it better. But it right now it will be I have to plan out my day. I have to, even if like the odd time it's happened that months ago, or if I was on holidays, maybe I don't have the sheet of paper there, but I'd have to get my notes out on my phone, and I have to say, vaguely, these are the three things I'm doing at these vague three times.
Yeah.
Or else, like, I might be, even when I was on holiday, let's say, for example, I don't know, I'm at the beach, but I'm thinking about the lunch.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, no, but tonight we're going to that concert. And then I'm at the beach, but I'm thinking about getting that concert. Like, you know, it's just, for some reason, it just has to be done.
Yeah.
And then I just know that, okay, sometimes, like, for example, yesterday, I had just normal dinner, and then I just had half a pizza with my normal dinner. And that's fine. Like, I don't mean about, like, you never can eat anything you don't want, but I just know that if a little break here and now, if I had McDonald's, that I don't really even care about it, that it would make me, like, fat or whatever, like, yeah, it might do with excess calories. I actually don't care about that. I just know that I wouldn't be able to concentrate, and I just start to feel anxious then, yeah, when I can't concentrate properly.
Makes sense.
So
I think what you said there about planning your day allows you to live in the present moment more. That's really, really interesting. What I take from that is that by you taking ideas or, like, obligations from your brain in your mind and putting them on a piece of paper, you're clearing your mind, and you're putting a timeline beside those obligations. So it's kind of like, you know that, okay, I mightn't be ready for that maybe class now, but I know that at 4 p.m. I'm going to put in the preparation for that. So at 1 p.m. when you're doing the podcast with me, you're not thinking about that because you know you've assigned time for that in the future. Whereas if you didn't do any of that, you'd be thinking, oh, geez, when am I going to do that? Or, you know, geez, I better start thinking about that. And it's kind of like decluttering the brain. And that's definitely something that I've seen hugely, you know, help me, is by, like, scheduling stuff. By scheduling obligations or important tasks, you know, you're kind of freeing up the present moment, going, okay, I'll deal with that then. And you assign time for it rather than letting it just knock around in your head without having without giving it a timeline to do. Because once Tony Robbins, our hero, I think you'd agree, he has a saying, is when you schedule something, it's done. Once you schedule it, it's done. As in, if a to-do enters your world, if you go, I'm going to do it then, and you put it in your calendar, I'm going to meet that person talking about this thing on that day at that time, that's already happened. You know, whereas if you go, oh, you know, we must get together sometime and chat about you know, what we're going to do with the personal development club next week.
Mm-hmm.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
No, I'll meet you on Tuesday at 3 p.m. to discuss the exact strategy for personal development club next week.
Mm-hmm.
At Tuesday at 3 p.m., we are going to do that, and it's going to happen. And we don't have to worry about it until Tuesday at 3 p.m. Whereas if you kind of say, ah, sometime we should get around to doing that, that's going to be on your mind. You're going to be thinking about that while you're up teaching higher level maths, mm-hmm, you know. So I think I definitely agree with you about planning. It's probably one of the most important habits that anyone can do, especially students. Thinking about tests or thinking about studying for, you know, exams or writing essays or homework or whatever. Yeah. Scheduling it is essential.
The schedule versus even just like writing stuff down, I find very powerful as well, getting the stuff out of your head, these ideas, and you can skip. But once you schedule it, like, sometimes you could write like a to-do list and it might say, like, you know, contact Chris, make food, like all this sort of stuff. And then you're thinking, oh, geez, I have to do these 12 things and I've no when am I going to, no time to, and you nearly, like, actually trip over yourself in that sense.
Yeah.
But the fact that when, like, for example, I think I've mentioned this one before, that I meet my mum at 2:30 on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And I have to text her where we're meeting just to make sure. So text mum, say the location and time, and that's it. And then done, versus on my to-do list, just writing mum. And then, are we meeting? Do you want to write back phrase? And then suddenly a task that could be done like that and over with.
Yeah.
Not that it's a task to me, but a task to actually organize it. A task that could be just done in 1 second. Well, then suddenly that's actually taken the whole day. And I'm thinking about something that's, like, obviously it's very, very important to meet my mum, but it's not like the organizing shouldn't take my entire day to go sort that out. And it doesn't, like, but it's just, I used to trip over myself that way until I actually schedule it as a time.
And I'm specific about the details.
Yeah.
Like, not just, mum, it's, this is exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, this one to talk about, or, yeah, whatever, at a certain time, and X, Y, Z, yeah. Very interesting, yeah. I think you have time for one more question.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll ask you.
Please, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, where would you go now? So, say you've got all this stuff now. What sort of habits, apart from the ones that you've spoken about here, where would you go from here as Chris Lauder? What habit would you like to develop? Are you in the process of currently developing?
That's a very good question and very relevant. Number one for me is learning. I think we all have when we get out of college even, we have this kind of attitude that, sure, academics are over, learning's over, now I just get a job and kind of that's that. But like one thing I'm trying to kind of shake is that attitude of I know enough, and in reality I don't know anything. And I want to adopt a more growth mindset, and I want to become a lifelong learner. That's really what the habit I want to build. That's the kind of identity I want to have, is someone that never stops learning and making new connections and learning new skills and information. So what the habit I'm trying to build around that is reading. I want to become the kind of person who reads a book a week. You know, so I've mentioned before, Bill Gates reads a book a week, even more. And if Bill Gates can do it, the busiest man probably in the world, I think anybody on earth can. So that's the habit I'm really trying to build, is to read more and read books that are going to make me think and try new things and expand my horizons. And I had the attitude for ages that I don't have time to read. Sure, I'm busy. I'm, you know, life's got stuff going on that I don't have time to read a book, you know. And sure, Netflix, I've got a bit of that going on. I'm watching a show at the moment, so I couldn't possibly have time to read. But I think the attitude I have now is, after kind of forcing myself to do it, and I built a bit of accountability into my reading kind of habit, i.e. I'm posting on Instagram the books I read. No one on Instagram gives a fiddlers. In fact, like, they don't want to see what I'm reading. But the reason I do it is it kind of makes me accountable to something, to a group somewhere. I said I was going to read books, so here we are. Here's me rating them out of 10. And that kind of helped me kind of build that accountability into the process of trying to become a reader. But it's by far one of the greatest things I've done of recent days, is trying to read more. And it gives you such new insights to your life, your personal life, your career, goals you want to achieve, and makes you realize that much more is possible than you think. Even by reading people, reading people's autobiographies that you admire. So if you have someone who's a bit of a hero of yours and they've written a book, read that book. Because in those books are their clues, like success leaves clues. If you want to, you know, do what somebody else has done, you can model their actions, just like following the recipe of a cake. You know, if these people have gotten to somewhere you want to go and they have written a book about it, within the pages of that book is the blueprint for doing it. So I've been trying to immerse myself in books about people who've done certain things that I'm interested in. Like maybe it's build an organization that's very successful. I try and read books about things like that. And I've just found it a really, really great habit, one that I'm really enjoying at the moment.
Yeah. I did something similar when I first started reading. I read the sentence before, it says, read what you like until you like to read. And I really enjoyed autobiographies. And then I didn't even realise at the time they'd be getting blueprints for ideas for stuff. And that's literally all I used to read. Only autobiographies. And with that in mind, Tyson Fury's autobiography is out this week and Joe Schmitz is out next week.
Wow.
So it's a big 2 weeks for me.
Oh, nice.
Two really big guys. But yeah, no, that's it. That's great. It's interesting you say that.
And just like you said, you're a really nice quote there. Read what you like until you like reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting because most people struggle with it and reading's a bit of a chore and a hassle. But if you want to become a reader, you have to prove to yourself with mini wins that you can read. That sounds kind of silly. Like, it's like if someone wants to go to the gym 3 times a week, you're better off saying, no, I just want to become the type of person who goes to the gym, rather than I go to the gym 3 times a week. No, I'm a gym goer. Mm. You know, I'm into fitness. And you also want to, then, rather than say I'm going to read a book a week, which I originally said I do, no, focus on just becoming a reader. Focus on becoming someone who enjoys reading. And the way you do that is by proving it to yourself that you can be that type of person with mini wins. Mm. Like reading a book, reading regularly, you know, just doing it for 5 minutes a day and build it up to 10 minutes a day and maybe 20 minutes a day. And by regularly doing it, you'll eventually become that person, if that makes sense, rather than focusing on one outcome.
Yeah, we used to do something similar actually in rugby. They, at the start, when I first was playing rugby, it was just like fitness in the summer. But what they actually started to do was they started doing game-based fitness. So it kind of tricks you a little bit because you're having fun.
Yeah.
But there's like stipulations around whatever games you're playing that they're like, you're blown.
Yeah.
But because you're not focusing on the fitness aspect of it, you're focusing on the game, it almost tricks you into get like doing the fitness because you want to win, or you're having fun playing alongside someone with it.
Yeah.
So you'd be with skills and with the ball. And obviously that actually came into a gameplay as well. That was great. But then when they actually, after a number of weeks, started putting in, say, at the end of a skills session, a fitness drill, you found yourself, I'm actually already fit. I've been running loads already for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And similar, like you were saying, with the book. So if you're reading an autobiography about somebody you like. You've done that a number of times. You're kind of good at reading then, and you then decide, okay, this book is might be a little bit of a slog about, I don't know, X, Y, and Z, but I can do it.
I proved to myself in the past that I'm a reader.
Yeah.
And I like reading. And it's linking the reward there. You know, like you said there that you kind of have, by having a bit of fun on the rugby pitch while training, it kind of made the training easier.
Yeah.
And like when I was trying to build a habit of going to the gym, like it was horrible to start, didn't see any results, you know, because it takes a while. And I used to link a little reward to that, to anchor myself to it. Not only did I have the accountability piece, I also had, like at the end of those workouts, I had a lovely coffee, which is something that I absolutely loved. And I linked going to the gym with getting a coffee. So like that was my little reward. And eventually, like, I didn't need the coffee because I saw the benefits of going to the gym. I started to like it, and then the rewards just fell away.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, fantastic. Chris, thanks so much. That's module 3, guys. So make sure to tune in next week for module 4 next
module
week?
Module 4, yeah. It's all about overcoming your fears.
Overcoming fears. And I think there's something to do with that word, with fears, that would be extremely beneficial. So really, really looking forward to going through with you then, Chris, and then having the chat afterwards to hear about what you're scared of.
Nice. Lots of things.
But great. Okay, thanks so much,
cheers,
guys.
Thanks.
Cool.